Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
King of Zion, we give you praise. We honor you for this gathering. We thank you because you have made it possible. Father, we say, let your name be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we pray as we go into your word, we ask that you would honor our gathering again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Tell us about seats. We bless God for Alpha and Omega has brought us. We thank God also for the grace giving our generosity to be around again today. Our first trip to the States, may God continue to keep him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are talking about understanding the fear of God. I wanted to remind us how we got here. God, we were doing a teaching on the church and what the environment looks like spiritually. As we were coming to a close, God was raising some concerns and he said we should do a teaching on the fear of the Lord. He said do it over 3 weeks. If you have listened to or probably read or took note of the visions that are coming, and God has even the women met on Friday, they had a vigil, and God was saying, if you look back at the series of teachings, there was a Sunday that said, God said, if you look back as far back as 5 teachings back, there is what I am pointing at every time. So God said, we should do the fear of the Lord. After the first Sunday, God said, but I want you to fast for 3 days, so that people's hearts may be open. And then I knew that God was up to something. Last week, I just wanted to just highlight a couple of things from the missions that was said so that we would. It says that we are meant to be thanking God and glorify his name over the teachings on the fear of the Lord. Part of the vision also said people should pray for the capacity to hear the word of God. He said everyone should be thankful that they had these teachings. He said there are many who will be delivered from bondage over the next few weeks. He said you should speak to those who were sleeping during the Sabbath. Train your mind to hear the word of God. He said, in the little time left for the teachings to end, let them go back and listen to the past teachings before the next teaching comes next week, which is this one. So this is because many people did not hear the teachings today. So a link should be shared to give people the opportunity to hear them again. Now, I read that for you to see how God is laying emphasis on what is being taught. And when certain teachings are going on, there are natural things that will happen. At times, people are not aware. In fact, there was a lady that came to this church for a while because God told her to come here for a while. If you still remember, she's not you, but she normally wears a mufti. Angelina or something from her name. But yeah, she comes in here, you see. She was there for a while. And she was saying something. He said, He said, she's a church leader, but God told her that I want you to go somewhere and go and stay there for a while. Afterwards, you go back. But I didn't know, but it cut long story short. So she was saying to me, she said, what your people do not understand is that when certain teachings are done, I'm observing certain teachings are done, and the temperature is rising, your flesh will react. Your flesh will react. So certain things will happen within that period of time. Your flesh will react. She was saying, I said, if only your people understand what is going on. And because we'll discuss more about it. See, the flesh is not just it is the way the Bible talks about it is a part of the whole evil spirit. There is the flesh, the human flesh that will react. And it will revolt at a particular time. It can revolt, and part of this that it will revolt around will be things that you do naturally, or things that you do, and you are still trying to jump. You will not see that the eagerness, the thing will charge. It's because the word is hitting the flesh, and the flesh is reacting at that point in time. Just as you can have an evil spirit manifest when teachings get to a point, your flesh also can manifest. So she was saying, the point that people are so used to, evil spirit of God, but you don't know that your flesh can also react. Part of your flesh react is you falling asleep. It is part of the issue. You know, or it is part of your flesh that teachings will be going on to a point that your heart will not be active. You will not be thinking about different things. You will not call your heart. It is the flesh that is already saying, no, we are not listening to this. So what I'm saying to you is that at times I know when she called me, she said, I see that people should understand these things. That in some kind of environment, your flesh will not be able to stand. This is not evil spirit. This is not, because your flesh has a mind of its own. That's why the Bible says that you subject the flesh. That's why the Bible says, the Bible talks about killing the flesh. Why you are killing is because he has a mind of his own. He has a mind of his own. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, so you will be in certain, you just begin to think about all sorts of things. Even when you are praying at the time, when you are doing some certain prayers, if you get to a point that your mind will not begin to run everywhere, and you have to hold your mind down. Because what is happening is that the mind starts saying, they carry me, I don't know. So, God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, but later on, the flesh will say, that's the way you fast. It gets to a point that you do like, if I don't hit you, I will die. After you get to a point, it will settle. Because that is what happens. The flesh will first of all react. The flesh will first of all react. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm saying that because of the vision that came out, that God said that the people's mind. That's why when the vision started, God said, first of all, fast for 3 days and put the people on that, because God had seen ahead that the attack will come. He said, after the sower goes and sows the seed, he said, the devil will come and he said, he now even said, you know, it don't even talk about the devil, he said, issues of life. That means the issues of life will now gather again to squeeze their own. The devil has tried his own. The natural things, events, will now gather itself again to shrink the rest. Then whatever is left is what is left. That is why, again, you will see that you will be in service will get to a point, you will say, what he's saying is that certain things will happen. You would, because It is not the devil, it is issues of life that is guiding to shrink his own heart. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. So, but at times one of the issues is that because that is why I believe Father Vision was saying that train your mind. At times people do not understand when I have to say that I change it because we are not used to, nobody is shaking. Amen. So he said in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, he said, do not come closer. He said, the Lord won, take off your shoes, for you are standing on holy ground. What this means, one, is that he was not aware in the difference of the land that he was standing, because as far as he's concerned, they are all sand. And please note that when he said, do not come closer, what he's saying is that there is a level by which you can come close to God that your shoes are still acceptable. But by the time you move closer to a point, there are certain things you must take off. So he was already coming close. He said, okay, where you are standing, if you take one more step, take off your shoes. Now, what was seen was the revelation of God. So we said it last week, the more intense the word of God is in the place, the more the revelation of God is available, the more requirements are for you to take off your shoes. Now, I am not talking about taking off your shoes here in church. What is the significance of taking off your shoes? Number one, he's saying the ground. What he's saying is that even though you see it as all sand, there are demarcations on a place that once you step beyond a particular level, you are expected to take off those shoes. Now, the shoes is what you use to contact the world. So, the shoes is what you wear as that, you thought when you're going out, you wear shoes because that is the contact you have with the world. And so he's now saying, take that thing off. Basically, what he's saying is that when you are coming close to me, there are certain things that are acceptable outside. You dare not do it here. You can wear your shoes outside. But the closer you come to me, there are ways I require you to act. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. I was having a conversation, a debate with a couple of people yesterday till around 1 o'clock. It was about, they were having some struggles around scriptures. So they called me and this person was giving, and I said to that person, I said, what you are saying is good. It makes sense. But it is not scriptural. There are certain things that you can say that the person will say, okay, but God is all powerful. Because he's all powerful, he's all knowing. He can do this, he can do this, he can do that. I said, yes, but he chose not to do it. It is out of his all powerful that he decides what he wants to do. Does this make sense? So I was saying that, I said, the Bible you carry is divided into two. It is called the Old Testament and the New Testament. What are testaments? Testaments are laws, contracts. So what you are carrying is saying that this is how God has agreed people should deal with him. Whatever your opinion is your opinion. Now, if you are doing salary job, now, and you're doing salary job. You have also done hourly job. Now, in your salary job now, if you do extra hours, who will pay? Because they will say, your contract says that whatever we give you, you do it within. If you now decide to do it 100 hours on top of that, that is your own. And the higher you go, the more extra hours you do, the more people say, what you don't even negotiate. And you get up time, you see. But if you were doing hourly job, you can say, no, I'm doing extra hours. What is the difference? Your contract. What does that mean? No matter what my opinion is about God, and what I think God should be doing is irrelevant. Because what you are carrying is a contract. That is why it's called Old Testament and New Testament. That is why you are called a believer, not a debater. God did not call people to debate his word. God is not having debate with people. He has called you to say, do you believe? He didn't say, are we on the same page? Give me your own suggestion. After this new point of mine, I want to convince you, but not to convince you that this is real. That's not good. And as we begin to look at it, you discover that it is lack of fear of God that you would think that God has called you to debate his opinion. Amen.
Amen.
So he goes to that to Deuteronomy and he says, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm. Amen. He said, because it's not that you're not serving God. God is saying that this person is not serving you with joy and they are not enthusiastic about it for the abundance of benefit you have received. He now told them, he said, you will serve your enemies. God is saying, if you are going to serve me, don't worry, cheat to the right. Don't worry. You know, it is pastor that do encouragement. As far as God is concerned, after you are encouraged and you are enthusiastic, that's when God is involved. All those things are, you know, when you want to go to Grammys, there are some people you want to Grammys and see you. The job of the line manager is to check your presentation, making sure that you've gotten it right, because they don't want you to go there and go and say rubbish. So at times, your pastor or the pastors are just line managers trying to say, okay, I know that. He knows that if you get there and you go and misbehave, you don't say. So God was saying that if you would not serve me with enthusiasm, you may think that this is harsh. Let me tell you, and this is where understanding of who God is matters. Assuming you have a child, and you told your child that if you come to my house if you come to my house this evening, anytime you come to my house, please, you must wash all the plates. If you're going to sleep over, you must wash all the plates and do everything. Now the child decides to come, and at the time they're supposed to go to bed, say, no, I'm going back to my house to go and sleep. They have obeyed you because they have not broken your rules. But as a parent, it's an insult. Does that make sense? Abby, do we not think it's an insult? So we say, okay, because you don't want to wash the plates, you now, hell, yes, I think you came here, if you are going to heat it, so you will not heat at home, outside, and come and sleep because they don't want to wash it. Very soon, that parent will say, you need to go and, because you cannot, that is the way people behave before God. No. See, let me just do my own and as far as he's concerned, see, there are certain things that's why I started off by saying, taking off your shoes. That's why I was talking to those people in the middle of night yesterday. I said, it's actually a church that they were having conversations, and I was So we had to do Bible teaching. I said, see, all these opinions that you guys have are good, but they are not biblical. So just as I have put you in that position of God, that you have a child that you are saying, this is my rule, because that child is not convenient to do it that way, now chooses to do it in a different, as close as possible, so that they are not breaking your rules, and you cannot say to them, why did you not do this? It will get to a point that parents will rebel, would voice out, so to say. So also is God, that he allows certain things, he knows what you are doing. But he said, okay. And these are things that is why, you know, that is why we read it last week, when God said, go and give what you are giving, go and give it to your mother, to your government. See if you accept the offering that you are giving. Amen.
Amen.
Last week God said, you should be dancing about these messages. I mean, is that not, if you know the vision, I didn't take it. You said, oh yeah, can joke from what, see, this is how God teaches his people. Because that's when I was reading, I was like, some of that vision, I don't know what you do. But as far as God is concerned, it is something that you should be joyful about. Because the Bible will say, as the Bible will say, it is he that the Father loves. The Bible will say, they will say that, oh my mama, but yeah, mama. There was a time I was not happy with God about certain things, and I said, and God said, no, it's not that difficult. You can choose. He said, there are people that I have abandoned. They don't get correction from me, neither do I correct them. So it is not, we are at a place where we understand each other. If that is what you want to do with your life, it's okay. You meet me when you wake up in the night. He said, because I was saying, why is it that certain people are able to do certain things? And me, before I do it, people, you know, the vision, this was actually, my God said, no, there are two, in a prison, there are two places. There is one that they call rehabilitation center, where they put them in the same prison, but the aim is to rehabilitate them to come out. There's another section in that prison which is for condemned people. There is no need for rehabilitation. In those places, in fact, have you not heard that when somebody, when they are put on death, when they are about to be, ask, what food do you want to eat? That's what they say. Tell me whichever food you want to eat. I will give it to you. Go and eat it. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, we've gone through quite a lot, and it is just, I'm just trying to lay foundation, bring everything together. Why this matters, why God is so important about it. Deuteronomy says, let's come on now. It says, okay, God bless you. The Bible says, where are we? Amen. We are done with, Philippians, let's go to Philippians, yeah. I lost it, Philippians. Okay, yes, thank you, ma'am. After, what I'm trying to say here is just because of my time. After your salvation, the next thing that is expected of you to grow in is the fear of God. Because that is how the result of your salvation is in you. So the Bible says that work hard to show the result of your salvation. People would think that when the Bible is taking that there are things you should work hard at, he said no, because he knows it will not be easy for you. As in to do it, that's why I said obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So the results of your salvation is shown in how well you fear God. In how well you fear God. Somebody is still, I've been saying for so many years, they're still struggling with the thing that they've been struggling with since then. The issue is the lack of fear. So that which you have been, the issue why you're, it is because of lack of fear, that's what it is. Because that is what shows the evidence of your salvation. That is what shows the evidence of your salvation. Has God given me certain things to overcome, giving me grace to overcome certain things? Yes. Why am I still overcoming the lack of faith? See, what you don't want is that God comes with that to an agreement with you. I have seen this happen a few times in my life where people are so excited about something that they think that God has agreed, and what God has done, he has come to an agreement with them. And they say, no, I know what God is telling me. He said, are you not saying that? I told somebody, there was something that happened at the time, and I was talking, are you not saying to me that I did not hear God well? I said, you had God, and God spoke to you. But what you are failing to see is, why did he tell you that? Somebody, a servant of God, came to this country, and some time ago, and God said, don't go to this prison. In fact, God was speaking to him that God said, it was a church actually. And God said, no, I have not called you there to serve. And God was not telling this servant of God, when that person calls you, tell them, this is where your church is. This is what is beside here. This is what is beside here. He described everything. He said, so that you may know that what I'm about to tell you is what God has said to you. And so God said, you have been desiring to want somebody to support you in the ministry because God said it is not you. And this person that was with that they were speaking to was a very senior person in the ministry. So the person now said, okay, while you are waiting for clarity from God, stay here and work with us. So the person now called me and said, they have been praying. And God has been, he got to a time that God went quiet. Then later, it got spread in his mind that God said, I said, so my God, you know, I did not go away. Hey, I said, it is not. The Bible says, let's go back to the next one. Man. The Bible says that, he said, now God told them, let them come. And the people of Israel, no. We don't want that kind of thing. The Bible says the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of these people which they have spoken. They have done well in all that they have spoken. God is saying, I agree with what they have said. He now said, oh, that they may have such a heart that they will fear me and worship me in all field reverence and profound respect, and keep up my all my covenants. He said, so that it may go with them well with them. So what God is saying is that, don't worry, just tell them, what they have said is right. But the problem is that they have missed something. The people were resisting. And God told Moses, he said that he may go with them and their children forever. And I said, go, say to them, return to your tents. These people will go home and say, wow, we had a word from God. Whereas, what God was saying is that, she could never give you. God needs. See, the issue is that if your heart is not grounded in fear, that's why he said, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me. So if a man has not learned to fear God, you will get to a point where God will begin to agree with everything that you see. In fact, you will have enough prophecy to back it up. Somebody, God told somebody about to do something in particular way. It was a celebration that he wanted to do. And he said, no. I said, hey. He said, this is what, it is not me. You are the one that came to me. I said, this is what God said. Two silent people. Hey, but why would God not say? So they now they say, okay, say let us pray about it. So they began to get confirmation from different prophets that were saying, God said you can do it. So when they came to me, they said, we have spoken to God and we have various confirmation. But what I knew was that what God has finally done is carrying. It broke my heart the day the person came to me crying. I said, why did you not want me? I said, I warned you. But what you did was that because you already had a mind, you already stubborn in your heart, and God just agreed with you. He said, have you not seen that those people did not hear God? They heard him. But what he did was that he had confirmed what you have said. That is why, when you see that you are on the wrong path of scripture, and you are hearing confirmation of prophecy to it, go and ask God why he's saying that. If your heart is not grounded in fear of God, that you are so scared of offending him, and you feel that I and God can have a joint conversation and settle at a possible place, you will end up hearing him say, "But yes, go and do it. You'll be okay." See, this is the way God works. He doesn't have a problem. You will come back again and you will learn the truth. That is, as far as it's concerned, you will learn. That's all that matters. You will choose how you want to learn. Does that make sense? Amen. So what we are saying is that the Bible, Jesus, the Bible is saying the issue here is their fear of me. They do not fear me. Have you had somebody who say that, God said that he has given me grace to fornicate? Have you had that kind of thing? I know. God doesn't deal with me with those kind of things. You're already at the place where you are said, can you just go and do whatever you want. Whatever you find there, you come back. That is why working with God, you must constantly check yourself and always be saying, this thing that I am doing, where I am thinking, is this what the Bible says? I'm not saying, God, if the way it starts, that is what the Bible says, but that does not mind my view on this thing. What God is saying, don't worry. All I'm just saying is that, like I told that person, when you are seeing that you are already on the wrong path of something, or God has been warning you previously about a certain thing, and now somebody would say, have you ever wondered? God help us. There was a servant of God that called me from Nigeria. They were on the mountain and the person was struggling. There was a man that they know that everybody knows. Well, in the group that went, very senior servant of God has few churches. He married a couple in his church. And that couple, so one of the child fell sick. They now had to do a DNA for the child. They now discovered that they wanted to give blood. They discovered that the blood of the father and the baby was not matching. But out of desperation to save that child, the mother had to say, it is the pastor that joined us together when we had no children, that fathered the child. Now, they now have to do DNA. That's covered that 3 out of 4 of the children of the woman, it is the pastor that has fathered them. So, in order to find a resolution and things like that, they now decided to say, okay, they cannot all be in the same church. So, they created a branch, and the woman now went to head that branch. So, when there was a day they now went to the mountain and prophecy was coming and God was speaking to that person and said, would surely
iṣẹ.
And God said, gbogbo awon, all those people that are against you, that are making life unbearable for you, because some people were raising voices, they said, no, this is not right. God said, I will silence all of them. So people then were like, what is going on? How can God be approving of this person with all that we know about this person? I said, what has happened? God has come to an agreement to that person. He has been transferred from rehabilitation to contained area. That's what has happened. So, that is why at times, anointing is not an approval of God. Because you are anointed, it's not an approval that God is happy with you. Because he anointed a donkey to speak. That's why you can see somebody who is constantly doing the wrong thing and the gift is growing. That is why in the fold, one of the things that they teach in the fold is that no matter how 10 visions you can see, if your character is not right, they will put you down. Because they know the gift is not an approval that God is happy with your lifestyle. When people say, ah, see, I can tell you, somebody was, you know, I do God just bring so many people around me, and I just wondered, there's a prophet that called me one day, he was crying. I said, what is your problem? He said, I spoke to some prophet. He was saying that I am not a correct servant of God. I said, okay. I said, what led to that conversation? He said we were talking about gifting and how, and he said, see, if I sleep with another woman and things like that, even as I get up from bed, I can, and the phone rings, I will be given the revelation. He said, you only have your wife. There is nobody, no side, something anywhere, and you have not tested the potency of your anointing. Said, so you are not a prophet of God. I said, then why are you crying? He said, you are not the prophet of God. You are not the prophet of God. Because if you are a prophet of God, according to his definition, then you are in trouble. Because he said you are not a prophet, his own definition of prophet is the one that can fornicate and pick up the phone and give prophecy to 50,000 people. That in that kind of environment, I don't want to be known as a prophet. I want to be known as a prophet of demons. Because that is better. So it's everybody that says you are not anointed and you're screaming about. You have to ask them, what is your own definition? If your definition is better than mine, thank God that I'm not. See, in this country I've been told, nobody will ever hear your voice. You are not of a certain level. You need to do certain, you need to get certain things. I said, if that is how. Honestly, it was in the church. I said, sir, I said, if that is how my voice will be heard in this country, or in the fold, or serious, I said, behind me, remain deaf and dumb forever. I'd rather remain deaf and never be heard by a single person than to be heard by the qualifications you are telling me to get. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me always remind you that God is saying we should thank you. Say, God. I know it's entering body, but God would. God would. Amen.
Amen.
So, what I'm saying to you is that if somebody says that you don't know anything spiritually, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's not, if you think that I don't know what I'm doing. Or when I'm good. That's the thing. You get what I'm saying? Because you need to be careful. Don't feel insecure because somebody says that what you are doing is not what you're saying. You know, and I'm talking about, you need to ask them, where did you get your definition of what you need? You have some, okay, Josh. I'm not sure it's not coming out if you go sit around you. So, when you now see people going in trance, Abi, I tell you, only you stop. Only you say, and I say, ah, the power has come down. See how they are doing services. You need to check. It is Abi, or that is in this same country. In this same London, I don't want. You don't discover that you'll be seeing vision. So, if you are in that environment and you say, you are not a prophet of God, you say,
thank you.
That you can come to a conclusion that I'm not a prophet of God, that you are, thank you. I'm grateful. Even if you post on Facebook, I will share it. For everybody to know that this one is not the Sabbath of God. I rather not. You know, but like, and you see people, those services are, oh God, you need to, those services are powerful. People are normally. Amen. Hallelujah. Our time is up spent. Amen. So, all I'm saying to you is this. It is not everybody that says that you are not of God that should bother you. Because it is their own definition of God and use of God. Now, the fear of God, that's what we are talking about. It's what I'm saying before I got to that point is that please be at some time, and I tell people at times this, when somebody says God said, and I can see that this person, I said, go and back, ask God why. Some people are taking that as offense. Why would you say that you go and ask God why he said what he said? I said, because what he has said to you is just to say, go and do whatever you want. You, somebody may say, no, that's unfair. No, that is his character. That is the way he has written it in his Bible. That's what he said to the dodgy person. I will appear to that person as that. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Jesus, the Bible was given a prophetic view of Jesus. The Bible says that a shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse, out from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. So if Jesus himself needed the Spirit of the fear of God to rest on him to function, there is no Christian that can survive without growing in the fear of God. The Bible says, in everything, the Bible says, is the light. The one that Jesus cherishes most, the Bible says, is in the fear of the Lord. I'm not saying that all these gifts are not important. Which one is the one that you are saying, if there's anything I want to have in life, is to learn to fear. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's come quickly before we spend time. The Bible says, do not let your heart be envious of sinners. He said, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Bible is saying that, what the psalm is saying here is that be excited. When you come to the fear of the Lord, let that be your target. Is that, can I ask a question, is that, why don't you do what your flesh wants you to do? Is your motivation that you fear God? Even though I want to, somebody was saying that you think it's a bad compliment. Somebody said, the wife said, with all the way I have been with you for years, the reason why you have not cheated on me is because you fear God. It is a very good compliment. I know you don't agree. but it's a very good compliment. See, that thing that you are feeling, your flesh is feeling like doing, what is making you not do it? Do you fear God enough, like Joseph said, that every other thing was given to me, but I would rather go to prison than to sin against God? That is what is called the fear of God. That is when somebody delights in the fear of God. Amen.
Amen.
God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says that because we have a Father who will judge everyone, 1 Peter, who will judge everyone, 1 Peter 1:17. That's a 4. He said, if you address maybe God as Father, the one who will be an impartial judge, according to each one's work. Because you know that everything you do will come under judgment before God, he says that conduct yourself in reverent fear of him. That is that, let whatever you do, the Bible says, throughout your stay in this world, as long as you are on this world, let the fear of God be the one that would motivate how you behave. Not that I am behaving in a particular way as long as it pays me. If it doesn't pay me, I'll behave in a particular way. Or, you know, since you know, God also understands that, you know, certain things, this environment is a bit different and things like that. No, your motivation should be the fear of God. And what should be, you should be scared of the fact that one day I will appear before God. The interesting thing is that, man, we have a way of living as though we live in this world forever. But yet, no one can guarantee the next minute. God will keep every one of us in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But please remember the song. He waits your bound on the liberties. What that says is that there are children who are standing before him. What I'm saying in essence is that nobody has a guarantee. So don't live your life as if you have the next 20 years to live. May God not allow it, may God have mercy on us and allow it to be our portion.
Amen.
But there will be children that will still pass. And it is, they will still stand before God. What I said, when I sing that song, what it reminds me is, it is not old people only there. Anytime. That's why I said, as long as you stay here, live in the fear, conduct yourself in the fear of God. The question is, what motivates your conduct? What motivates your conduct? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, let me show you who you should fear. In Luke chapter 12, 5 to 7. He said, fear him who after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into it. He said, yes, I tell you, fear him. The Bible says, do not fear the person that can kill the body and not the soul. I know we turn that scripture to say, so then what we should do. If hunger will kill you, it will kill your body. It can never kill your soul. Your body will feel like, if I don't say this thing now, I will die. God is saying, don't fear that one. If what you will say can kill you, let it kill you.
If you don't say it, let it kill you. Fear the one that after you say it and you say, yes, I am now okay. Say, remember the one that can kill both the body and the soul. So what he's saying is that it's not only human beings. He's saying that anything walk of the flesh that you would be like, if I don't do it now, the world will end. You rather let the world end and save your soul than do it to save your soul, body temporarily, when you appear before one who will destroy both the body and the soul together. Amen?
Amen.
Still, let us still remember that God's name should be happy. Amen. So, the Bible says, that is the one you should fear. The way I conduct myself, it will look as if I will look at the most stupid human being on earth. It is better you look as the most stupid human being on earth than to show yourself for who you are and offend the one that can kill that body and soul together. That's what he said. So before you look at yourself and say, you cannot, you are not God. The Bible says that you cannot kill the flesh and you cannot, I fear only God that can kill the flesh and not the soul. Yeah, but yet, you cannot control your appetites. You cannot control your emotions. You cannot control your, those things are already saying, if you do this, you're going to die. Someone say, the way I'm feeling now, oh God, the way I'm feeling now, if I don't say something, I would have to go, release your mind. Say, you are stupid. So, how do you feel now?
I feel all right.
I feel all right. And God is saying, you have offended the one who can kill both the soul and body. Because you are afraid of how your body would feel. You have taken that and offended the other one. Amen.
Amen.
God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just coming to the point, the Bible says that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, just two scriptures down, the Bible says that it says the end of the matter is this. It has all that has been had. Fear God and keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of a man. That means that as far as God is concerned, if you fail on this one, you have failed. The Bible says that the people come near me with their mouth, but their heart is far away from me. Isaiah, he said, their worship of me is based on mere human rules. When you go to the KJV, the Bible says their fear of me. So the Bible says worship, that's why the Bible says you are glorious in holiness. You are fearful in praises. The greatest worship you can give to God is to fear. Is to fear. Now, we pointed a couple of things out earlier as we look at how we fear God. You know, the Bible teaches us, the Bible says to us that it says the way we serve God, Psalm 2, verse 11, it says serve God with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, if I am delayed, I want you to know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of the Lord. So what the Bible is saying, that the way you behave in the church determines if you fear God or not. Paul said, submit one another in the fear of the Lord. So the way I react or behave towards you shows if I fear God or I don't. We explained this last week, that it's as if the Nigerian, the Yoruba culture, if a man is sitting, if an elderly person is sitting down and two people are standing to shout at each other, the elderly person will say, can you not see that I'm sitting down? Basically, what they are saying is that you are insulting me by doing what you're doing. The same thing with God. It doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. There is a way you conduct yourself, and God says, "What? How dare you insult me?" No, I'm not dealing with God. I'm dealing with you. Because no, that's not how it works. It is my house. Amen.
Amen.
God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So please, if the body says, sit there, and disobey, you have insulted God. That's why I said there are certain things that philosophies that happen outside or in the house of God is a different body. The Bible says that if the church calls you and disciplines you, and you say no, I don't care. The Bible says, treat that person. Jesus said, treat that person as an unbeliever. He now said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What God is saying, if church institutes a discipline for you and you disobey it, you are not disobeyed then, you have insulted God. The same thing, you had Ananias and Sapphira. They brought an offering and they were lying to Peter. And God responded. Why? Because they did not lie to Peter, they lied to God. Why? What happened? They wanted to show off. So if somebody comes to a service, and go and you want to dress, say, ah, oh my God, and you're doing that, oh my God, you are, and you walk in to the auditorium that we have insulted the one that's sitting there. Because he's not here, you're not here to show you. There's only one person that can be seen, it is him. If I hold my microphone to say, see, I have been there before. I told you once, when I was doing offering, I went to the toilet. I had given my own offering in my former church. I had gone to the toilet. I had given my offering, but because I was not teaching Bible, I now said, so they were now said, so Baba now said they should be bringing the offering to the front. I didn't have anything. So I now sat, and I said, won't be. I said, let me do something. People don't feel like, the one that's teaching us Bible is not giving offering. So I now danced before God, and I did my hand like this, and I said, you know how people say, I now did like this. God said, how dare you? That month, I hear when? When your finances is so hard, I don't say, yes, you need to understand these things. That you can dance before me and go. How dare you? Why? Who do you think you are deceiving? Should I bring it a little bit closer? Have you seen this type of clapping? I didn't have people like this. Who are you deceiving? See, some things are acceptable at the far distance road. The closer you come to him, there are certain things, he would rather you fold your hands and not clap than be doing like this. It's not entertainment. God is not wanting to be entertained. He wants you to worship him. So whatever you are going to do, please do it in an authentic way. That's what I'm saying. Don't do things to say, Timbashe. People will be saying, see that person. God said, God was saying, if it was that one piece, that if what order you have given, I have taken that offering, even though you have given it as you have given it. I saw you give. But don't come and make this paradigm thing before people. Because that's what you are doing. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So, somebody may be saying that I have done all these things, I have feared God for you. And I see that people who don't fear him are getting away with murder. Let's go to Malachi, please. He says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. He said, you have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? He said, you have said that it is futile to serve God. What do we gain from carrying out his requirements? Going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. Even when they put God to test, they get away with it. That means people are trying God's patience. And it seems like they are getting away with it. And let's go on now. He said, then those who fear God talked with each other. And the Lord listened. So people were saying, you see people that do this, and they are getting away with it. And you have somebody who will say, okay, this person will not come from God. This person will not come from God. I shall not come. I cannot be the one. I'll be the only one I'll be talking about all the time. Sorry, this is a practice. I'm sorry, it's not quiet, but I'll just say it anyway. See, if nobody wants to do it, that's why I will not do it. What is the, am I the only one? The Bible says, then those who feared God, who feared the Lord, talked with each other. And the Lord listened to them. And God said, go and bring me the scroll of remembrance. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared him and those who honored him. The Bible says, on that day when I heart, that means that you may think that I'm not going to heart now, but the day I am going to heart, says the Almighty, he says, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as the Father has compassion and spares the Son who serves him. You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve me and those who don't. God will say, you know, you think I don't see you? I'm writing down every single thing in your book. To you think people are getting away with all sorts of things. All I'm begging you, and God is saying, is that you better don't join them. Because the day I'm going to bring out the book of remembrance, he said, on that day, you are not the one that will choose the day, but on that day, when I begin to select those who serve me and those who don't, if these things written about you say, after he had complained that other people are doing this, nothing is happening to them, and things like that, they just allow people to do all sorts of things. I would not love, but I come. The when they say, why are you not coming for meeting? When other people do not come, did you say anything now? So why would I call? Why are you not picking on me? Have you heard it before? And he said, have you said it before? Have you heard it before? That's what he's saying. He said, I'm hearing all that you are saying. But I want you to remember, I have a book of remembrance that everything of those who have served me faithfully is written down. The day I will show up, it will not be the day for you to talk again. It will be my turn to now talk. But when that day will come, it will not be you that will choose. It is me. May God grant us understanding.
Amen.
Remember, God said we should laugh and enjoy. Amen. There are benefits for those who choose to fear God. I think the most important thing is for you to know that he doesn't forget those who worship him in fear. It may seem to you as a human being that he has forgotten, but he has not. It may seem to you that other people are getting, I'm not talking about other people, I'm even talking about, it might not be in this church, it might even be in your environment, people that are serving God and people that it's as if you are the one that has punished God. And everybody is getting away with what they're saying, you know, what is the beat? But that's why I said there are days that you know, that they are also offended. I say, God, what is the problem? Why is it that I see other people that you are calling your servant and you are getting away with different things? And if I want to do the littlest thing, I told you once, what is there, Tankere Ludu? You know what they call Tankere? I have been slapped in my dream that I woke up like this. That was one day that I was beating. I was living in Ice Street. I ran down. Thank God nobody was up. Nobody was home. What is all of this now? Can somebody not just do, you know, I'm not even saying I want to do something bad. Just what my mates are doing. So, if you are there, I'd have been there. And God said, no, the day of remembrance is coming. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, let's just bring it to an end because of our time. Isaiah chapter 30, sorry, I might go down scriptures. Isaiah 33, verse 6. The Bible says that he said it would be the stability of your times. He said about Isaiah 33, 6. He said, and it will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the treasure of Zion. That means in Italian Moshe Kony and Padalek, you oversee your in this Zion, God's treasure is his fear. If you are going to treasure hunt with God, there is only one thing that God classifies as his treasure. It's his fear. That is why the Bible says his delight is in the fear of God. Do you treasure God's fear? Do you treasure the fear of God? And our prayer is going to be seen by that as we come to a close of this thing. It's what God said in Jeremiah chapter 232. He said, they will be my people. And I'll be their God. They will be my people and I'll be their God. I will give them singleness of hearts and action. He said, so that they would always fear me and that it will go well with them and for their children after them. God is saying, the only way you can last with me is to fear. That's why the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. He's saying, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. But that covenant will be useless. He said, I will never stop doing good to them. The reason why I will never stop doing good to them, he said, I will inspire them to fear. The only way God's covenant with you can last is when you learn to fear him. He said, so that they will never turn away from me. God is saying, somebody said, no, God has said he will never leave me or forsake me as long as you maintain the fear. Once you don't fear him, you are not concerned about what offends him. Gradually. Mm-hmm. I see so many people that God has promised that they will become great men of God. Or fancy. They ended up here. Some people are already advanced money doubler, you know. People who are already using their gift to bring that money. I said, ah, but God said that they will be with him forever. Yes, the fear of God was not in their hearts. And as a result, they ended up coming in. The last statement I'm going to make is that if Jesus needed the fear of God to remain relevant, the Bible says that he was hard because of his fear. If Jesus himself can, the Bible says the one he chose, you know, when we go to, Nigerian engagement, you tell the wife, pick one thing. And she will go around, she'll see money, she'll not pick. She will do this money. You know? And you say, ah, pick one, there's one special thing that you should pick. The one, I said, oh, let me pick. God is saying that if there's anything you are going to pick, in anything that he places before you, pick his fear. Because that is the only thing that can make you last.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.